Ephesians 4 tonight. We'll begin reading over there in verse 17, if you would. Stand when you find it, please. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. But I tell you what, that's not a place where you want to be. And if I could make people understand that without Christ, that's where they're at, boy, you know, that's what we need. We need oh so much more of God's power to make people understand that they're darkened, they're alienated from the life of God, they're blind heart, ignorant. Boy, I tell you, they're past feeling, verse 19, having given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27, it will be my text tonight. Neither give place to the devil. Let me preach to you on the devil's place. The devil's place. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight because we love you. We're here in church tonight, Lord God, because you saved us, and our heart's desire is to be with your people in your presence, Lord God, and with your power. And Lord, that's our desire. Tonight's our prayer, that you would be here with us in the fullness, manifesting yourself. And Lord God, that you would speak to the hearts, every one of our hearts here tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In a car engine, every part has its place. It has a place where it belongs. Assuming then that it's functioning properly, what that part was designed to do will get accomplished as long as it stays in its place. No matter how well that part functions, on the other hand, it will never accomplish its intended purpose if it's not in its place. Any machine works the same way. From the engine of the largest tractor trailer to the smallest sewing machine, a machine has parts that must be in their place in order to function properly. Imagine even a bicycle with a wheel missing. Imagine a car with the steering wheel missing. Don't even think about it. Imagine a gun without a trigger, just a little trigger. Imagine a knife with no blade, just a handle. Imagine a chair that you're sitting on with no seat. It's got a back, it's got legs, but it's got no cushion on the bottom. See, everything has a place. And part of being an organized person is understanding that. And everything has a place. A well-organized home is only well-organized because everything is in its place. A well-organized life is only well-organized because everything is in its place. When things get out of place, confusion and unrest are the results. And I don't need to tell you tonight, but maybe we just need to think of it. God is organized. God is not in heaven running around trying to figure out what he's going to do next. Amen. God is a God of decency and order. Now, can I say this to you tonight as we go and we think about this? A saved man should be also. Amen. Can you think about with me, go back to the Garden of Eden and the before man sinned and Adam and Eve fell into sin, all mankind was organized. There wasn't confusion. Amen. There was no traffic jams, which is confusion. There was no concrete jungles we call cities. Amen. By the way, you know, God made the country, man made the city. And go back to the Garden of Eden, and everything was organized, and because God was running things, and God is an organized God, and everything had a place, and everything functioned like a well-oiled machine. Proverbs 27, verse 8 says it like this: "As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place." A man has a place in life. According to the Bible, a man is to submit to Christ as his head. A man is to rule his own home. A man is to be the head over his wife, giving honor to her as unto the weaker vessel. A man is to be the covering over his wife and his daughters until they get married. He gives them away to the husband. A man is to take care and oversee and be pillar in the church of God. A man is to be strong. A man has a place in life according to the Bible. So does a woman have a place in life according to the Bible. A woman is to be submissive and obedient to her own husband. A woman is to be a keeper at home. A woman is to be modest and meek and quiet. A woman is to be virtuous and fear the Lord. A woman is not to be flattering and flirtatious. A woman is not to usurp the authority over a man at home, at church, or anywhere for that matter. I'll say amen for you, ladies. A child has a place. A child has a place in life also. A child is to submit to and obey their parents. A child is to honor father and mother. A child is to be trained up by his parents. A child is not to be left to himself. Even a child is known by his doings, the Bible says. Can I say to you, though, this afternoon, dearly beloved, a Christian has a place too. Just a Christian in general. You may not be married, you may not have a family, you may not be a child anymore, but a Christian has a place too. It's to be in church every time the doors are open. It's to be with God every day in private, alone, in your secret place. It's to be a gospel witness to every creature everywhere. And let me just add this in here since we're almost there. It's to be at the election booth on election day. God, if you're not registered to vote, shame on you. Get it together. Get organized and go register to vote. And vote Bible principles, dearly beloved. A Christian cannot call himself a Christian and honestly, if he doesn't go vote and for Bible principles, you don't even need to be, you can't even pray for your country if you're not out there voting. There's a lot of examples. Everybody, everything has a place in life. Having read these examples, though, think about this. How many people are out of place? How many men are leading their home, loving their wife, submitting to Christ? Christians that have been saved, not in church. How many ladies are submissive to their husbands? How many ladies are keepers at home? How many Christians walk with God every day? How many children are obedient to their parents today in this world? Confusion, dearly beloved. Confusion reigns in our country. Confusion reigns, but can I say to you tonight, it has no place in our lives. As Christians, it has no place in our lives. As Christians, it has no place. The devil, can I tell you, the devil has his place too. And listen, it's not to rule the home, although he seems to do that pretty well. His place is not to be the head over the wife, although he does take that if you give it to him. His place is not to take care of the church, although he's running most of them. His place is not to train up the children, although he's doing that very well with television and all of the technology. His place is not to be the keeper at home, although when you walk in most houses, it looks like he's keeping house and he'll get back to it in another 10 or 12 years. Like everyone's place, the devil's place is also found in the Bible, dearly beloved. Remember, his original place was in heaven. The Bible calls him the anointed cherub that covereth. He was one of those cherubs that covered the throne of God with his wings. I mean, he looked upon God day and night. We don't know how long. That's an amazing thought. The Bible says he's full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Perfect, the Bible even says, perfect in all his ways from the day that he was created. His place was in heaven, right beside God. But we know he fell out of that place. He left his place. And now the Bible tells us in Matthew 25:41 that his place, his future place, is the lake of fire. The Bible tells us that the everlasting fire in Matthew 25:41 prepared for the devil and his angels. Everlasting fire. We see over in Revelation 21, the Bible says that he will be cast into the lake of fire, where he will be day and night tormented forever and ever. He has an original place in heaven, but he did not stay in his place. And now he has a future place in hell, dearly beloved. And can I say, I'm just going to stop right there and say, I know everybody that gets out of their place doesn't mean they're going to hell, but most people that are out of their place are indeed going to hell. And nobody will ever tell them, nobody will even point out to them, listen, you're out of your place. You're going down the wrong path. You're heading in the wrong direction. You're heading down to the pits of hell. You need to find the Christ Jesus and give your heart to him. You're out of place. You're out of line. But people don't mind today. They're following the devil. They were in heaven. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. And they were. And listen, the devil was created. Adam and Eve were created, and they've all fallen. But the devil's future place is hell. And every single man, woman, boy, or girl without Christ, their future place is just as same exact lake of fire. But can I tell you today, you know this. The devil's place today, right now, he's on the throne of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls him the God of this world. The God of this world. Right there in Ephesians, look in chapter 2, in verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. The God of this world controls the course of this world according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the devil, the prince and power of the air, the prince of the power of the air. He's working now, right now, as we speak. He's working in this world. He's working over this world. He's working things out according to what he thinks. I'm telling you right now, he knows the Bible better than any of us. He knows what's coming. He knows his days are short. He knows it, but he can also look around him and see that he's been very successful in reaching a lot of people that follow him. As we go back to Ephesians 4:27, we remember then that this book, the book of Ephesians, is written to a church. Remember, the First Baptist Church, amen, of Ephesus. They're instructed then here in Ephesians chapter 4, this church body is instructed to not give place to the devil, but look now, it's in their church. In their church. The devil doesn't have a place in this building. There's no seat reserved for him in these chairs or back. There's no Sunday school class for the devil and his angels. There's no place in him, but listen to me, if the devil gets a place in the church, it's through the people that come into that church. To give the devil place in the church is to light the fires of confusion and disarray, and what do you expect when you light a fire? It's going to burn. To give the devil place in the church is to open a can of the most wicked worms you can imagine. To give the devil place in the church is to start a ball of sin rolling that will trample everyone in its perverted path. The devil has no place. His place is not in the house of God. What can we learn quickly? Number one, the devil fights for a place in church. The devil fights for a place in church. He's working now. Now. I have to guard against him. I have to guard against giving him a place because he's fighting for it. See, I wouldn't even need to think about not giving him a place if he didn't want it. If he wasn't trying to take it, I wouldn't have to worry about it. I wouldn't even have to concern myself about it. I mean, for example, I don't have to concern myself with Samuel not eating too many vegetables. He doesn't want them. I don't have to ever worry about that, amen? But I do have to worry about him eating all the ice cream. Why? Because he wants it. And that's a silly illustration, but the devil, you don't have to worry about him not coming in. You don't have to worry about him taking over, amen? He wants in here, and so we have to stand up and realize he's fighting for a place in this church. We have to guard against the devil because he's fighting for a place. If the devil gets in a church, let me remind you, if he gets in a church, he's not content to just sit there and listen to the preaching. He's not fighting for that. The devil gets into the church, he's not happy to hear the songs of Calvary covers at all. He's not happy to hear the songs of praise and adoration coming from your mouth, coming from your heart. He doesn't enjoy giving of tithes and offerings. He's not here for that. He's not fighting to get in church to help support missionaries. He fights for a place in the church so he can fight against everything I just said. So he can fight against everything that goes on in church when the church is doing the work of God. He fights to stop the preaching and to replace it with storytelling. He fights to stop the saints from singing. I said he fights to stop you from singing. He fights to stop you tithing. He fights to stop you giving to missions. Are you giving in place? He would rather you just kind of tip God like a waiter at a restaurant. Oh, thank you. You did a good job. Thank you for saving me. Here's a buck. He fights to stop modesty, ladies. He fights for you just to push the envelope, just get as far as you can without really going too far. He fights for you just to be borderline. He fights to stop modesty altogether. Really, what he really wants is to just replace it entirely with the attire of a harlot. He fights to stop male leadership. He fights to replace it with lady pastors. He fights to replace it at least with lady deacons and lady council on the board of councilmen, council members. Listen, he fights to replace everything that's right and orderly and godly. He fights to stop children obeying their parents. And he wants the children to control the service. Turn with me to Isaiah 14 real quick. Isaiah 14, look at this. He's not fighting to get in church because he wants to hear the preaching, amen? Isaiah 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Why did that happen? Look in verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Who's the head of the church? The Most High. Who's the chief cornerstone of the church? The Most High. Who's the congregation in verse 13? I know we're talking about Israel, but I mean, if you think about the church today, he wants to sit upon the mount of the congregation. He wants to sit up there and rule over the congregation. But look at what it also says in verse 13, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now look with me in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, quickly tonight. I'm not going to keep you long, amen. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 20. Jesus is speaking here to John. He said, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. Seven what? Stars, you see that? We just saw. He's going to ascend his throne above the stars of God, the stars of God. He, the seven stars, and in my right hand, the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the, look at that, people, the angels of the seven churches. The angel, an angel, dearly beloved, is a messenger. We've talked about this before. An angel is a messenger and even a protector. So that's a direct reference to the pastors. The churches, the candlesticks, the stars are the angels, are the messengers for the churches, the pastors. And the devil says in Isaiah 14, I will ascend my throne above the stars of God. He's fighting, amen, to get a place in church. He's fighting to get in and take over that church by taking over the throne and sitting over the angel of God in that church. He's fighting. The devil wants to have control over the church and all of its activities. The devil wants to control everything from the very opening, unlocking of the door to the locking of the door and going home at night. He wants to be in full control. He wants to be he wants that to be his place. But I'll tell you right now, dearly beloved, that is not his place. Place according to the Bible. If he does have place in the church, he's out of place, and it's only because someone's given it to him. My mom used to always say, you know, if you give him an inch, he takes a mile, right? Give him an inch, you think he's a ruler. You give the devil just a foothold in the door, dearly beloved. He's fighting for it. He's fighting to take control and to put his throne over the stars of God and sit up on the mountain over the congregation. He wants to stop everything that's right. I want you to turn with me to James chapter 4 now. James chapter 4. The devil fights to get in the church. He fights to get over and completely control the church, and I don't need to give you examples of how many he's controlling right now. You well know that. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So even though the devil's fighting to get in and take over the church, number two, the devil flees when he's resisted. The devil flees when he's resisted. God promises this. The devil will flee from you. It's a blessing. It's a promise from God. In other words, listen, here's what I'm trying to say tonight. We don't have to settle for less than the Lord's best. We don't have to settle for less than God's fullness here with us. If it's ever lacking, it's because one of us has given him place. If the fullness of God's presence is ever lacking, it's because one of us has given him place and we've settled for less than what we could have had. Because the Bible says if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. We don't have to settle for less than the Lord's best. We don't have to settle for a worldly church with a devilish spirit. The preacher, you said, our church isn't like that. I know all that. But you understand, these things that I mentioned a minute ago, he wants to stop the preaching and replace it with storytelling. He wants to stop you from singing and God's music and replace it with sounds of war in the camp. He wants to stop you tithing and giving the mission and just replace it with tipping God like a waiter. He wants to replace modesty with just borderline or even fullness of tire of the harlot. He wants to stop male leadership and replace it with lady pastors usurping authority. He wants to stop children obeying their parents. So any one of those areas that we give him place in our hearts and lives, then we're settling for less. We're settling for less because we don't have to have a worldly church. The devil will flee from us. We don't have to settle for a worldly church with the God of this world running it. We don't have to settle for that. We look around and we think, well, that's just what's happening to everybody. Maybe that's just the way it's going to be in these last days. That is a lie. We don't have to settle for that. But if you are giving him place, you're settling for less. We don't even have to be content with a lukewarm church. Well, you know, I've been going to church, and sometimes we just treat the house of God and the church services that we come to just because it's a duty. It's something that we have to do. It's something we do. It's something that we do. It's something we do. And listen, that's settling for less. That's not coming with a heart ready to hear from God and sing out. I mean, I can look at some of your faces during the song service, and I can tell you're not really here with excitement and enthusiasm. But you don't have to settle. You don't have to leave. That's less than what you could have. That's giving place to the devil in your own heart. We can have a devil, according to this verse, we can have a devil-free church. And we should want to have a devil-free church. We laugh and we chuckle, but seriously, this is more than we don't usually think about these things, but he's fighting for a place anywhere he can get it. And the Bible tells us we are more than conquerors, dearly beloved. God is for us, and if God be for us, the devil can't overcome us. We can resist him, and he will flee. We are overcomers, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Amen? The blood of the Lamb, and then you accepted Christ. That's your testimony. You overcame him when you got saved, when you accepted his gift of God, free salvation, full pardon of sin. Then you don't have to settle for less ever again. Don't give the devil place. We're overcomers by the blood, the unspotted Lamb of God. But the devil is working right now. The devil fights to get a place in church, but the devil flees when he's resisted. And finally, I'll just close with this thought. The devil will find a place and take his place when we get out of our place. Again, when he gets in a church, he comes through a person. Look in verse 7 again, James 4. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. See that plural, yourselves? That's written to believers, obviously. That's individual requirement to be able to resist the devil. We have to submit first before we can expect to be able to resist the devil. This submission comes before the resistance. Again, Ephesians 2, I read it to you a minute ago. This spirit that now worketh, but it says in the children of disobedience, in the world, in those people that are unsaved, the spirit of the devil works, fighting. He's got the control of them. But he uses them in God's people's lives, in God's people's minds and hearts. He uses the children of disobedience working now, right now, in those people to get to you. And me. Why? Because he can get in, so he can get in our church. Because listen to me, if the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, is shaken and overturned by Satan, then he will do more damage than just take one or two people out of here. Everything that we do, all the missionaries, all the soul winning, all the prayer, everything, dear beloved, will just fold up. You say, preacher, the Bible says in Matthew 16:18, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I know that. Amen. But that, listen to me, that doesn't mean, that's not every church. That just means when Jesus Christ comes again, there will be at least one church. And by the way, let me just remind you, it also said the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Not them. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, as far as I can tell in Matthew 16, he's talking about one church, the church at Jerusalem. But he's talking about everything that came from there. I understand a lot of churches got started out of there. But what I'm telling you is this, that there will at least be one church. But that doesn't mean that every church is going to make it. I can show you even the church of Ephesus, where the devil got in and they left their first love and it's no longer there. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Go over there, back over there with me. Ephesians chapter 6, look in verse 11. Let's just begin in verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, again, we're talking the same church that he said in Ephesians 4, don't give place to the devil. Ephesians 6, 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, so it's the same thing. If you're not going to give him place, the only way you're not going to give him place is if you stand against him. The only way you're not going to give him place in your church is if you stand against him personally in your daily lives. But look at the next verse, verse 12. For we wrestle... oh, not against flesh and blood. Now, why did he put that little phrase in there? Because it's the flesh and blood that are carrying around that spirit that we're wrestling against. Yeah. You didn't see the devil today, but you were around his spirit. You didn't see him face to face. I think I may have saw him out there on the street corner thing. He's always out there. And by the way, he never has anything nice to say. Verse 12, look again. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So what we're seeing from that verse then is that the spiritual wickedness, the rulers of darkness, the powers of principalities and darkness, they use flesh and blood. That's why he says we're wrestling not against that person that's carrying that spirit, but the spirit in them. Yeah. Nevertheless, dearly beloved, that person is still used of Satan. That person is still a problem, amen? Our battle is not against them, but the spirit of the devil is working in them. Yeah. What are you getting at, preacher? Listen. It's right here in Ephesians 6, verse 12. Verse 13, he says the next verse, wherefore? Based on what I just told you, he says, the devil's out there, the spiritual wickedness in high places, fighting to get in your church. Put on or take unto you the whole armor of God. Now, when we're in our place as a man, as a woman, as a young man, as a young lady, as a Christian, when we're in our place, as I mentioned earlier in the message, when we're in our place, we are striving against this evil. When we are in our place, we are striving against the wiles of the devil. When we're in our place, that is the first step, is what I'm trying to say to you. That's the first step to fighting against giving him place. The first step is to be in your place. You cannot put on the whole armor of God if you're not in your place. Let me explain to you. Imagine trying to get dressed in someone else's house. You did not bring any of your clothes. They don't wear the same size you do. You don't know where the clothes are. You can't even find the light switch. Imagine trying to get dressed with someone else's wardrobe, trying to fit in someone else's clothes that aren't your size. We can't even begin to get dressed in such a scenario. But that's what I'm trying to say to you tonight, spiritually speaking. When we're not in our place, forget the armor. You're not even where the armor is. When a man is not a man like God says he's supposed to be, he cannot even have access to the armor. He's out of his place. See, God is orderly. And he's got your armor in your place. That's where you're going to find your armor. You're not going to find your armor out of your place. God is not a God of confusion. When a lady's trying to be loud and large and in charge, she's out of her place, and she's never going to be able to wear the armor. She doesn't even have the armor. When a child is rebellious and resists authority of his parents, forget it. He's not even going to try to put on the armor. He won't even know where the armor is. When a wife is not submissive to her husband, forget it. The devil is all over you. You don't even have access to the armor because you're out of place. When there's a church service going on, when there's a church activity going on, and you're not here, you're out of your place. And anything goes when you're out of your place. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You don't have any armor when you're out of your place. We can't even begin to put on the armor when we're out of our place. When a man's not leading, when a man's being led around by his nose like some little puppy dog, forget it. Man, why can't we men learn to be leaders instead of follow every little fancy that comes along? Why is it so hard to understand? We are called as men to be pillars. When a woman's not submissive, forget it. When a child's not obedient, forget it. When a Christian's unfaithful to church, forget it. When a Christian's unfaithful to God, daily walking with God in their secret place, forget it. You're not in your place. And when you're not in your place, the devil will take his place. We wrestle. Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The only strength we have is the armor of God. Amen. That's the only strength we have to fight the devil. That's the only way we can do it. But we've got to be in our place. Every person in their place. God is a God of order. He's not going to give you your armor. It's foolish to even think that I can put on my armor when I'm not even in my place where my armor is. I'm trying to get dressed in somebody else's bedroom. The devil has no place in the house of God. But he's fighting for it. In every church. But let me tell you something, especially in the ones where we fight back. He is not like the average American Christian. He doesn't just bow out when there's resistance. As a matter of fact, when there's resistance, he fights harder. When there's resistance, he goes and gets seven more devils more wicked than himself. He doesn't sit out and suck his thumb like the average Baptist church member, amen? He fights harder. Why? He just wants to come in and take his throne over the angels of God and sit on the mount over the congregation. Isn't that a picture? It's a picture that I don't ever want to even get closer than reading it. The devil's place is not in the church of the living God. The Church of Jesus Christ should never. Let me say, the Bible calls him the God of this what? World. Our church ought to be so completely different. I mean, completely night and day, white and black, different in every way than the world. Every way. When it starts taking on the world's apparel, appearance, attitude. Oh no, it's not flesh and blood, but it is that spirit. No one should ever come in here and mistake this for a worldly place. I like it when young people come in and say, "Oh man, I guess I should have worn my suit." It is church. No, I didn't say that, but I said, no, that's all right. Don't worry about that. You know, you can get one later. I don't want a lady looks like a harlot come in here and feel comfortable. Are you with me tonight? It's not because I'm intolerant and insensitive. That's what the liberals say. It's because I don't want the devil to have place in the church. I don't want the devil to have place in our church. And if we get out of our place, we're going to give him place here. Just one of us, folks. Just one of us. That's all it takes. In any area that God's spoken to you about tonight, just one area, listen to me, you're giving him place if you're not in your place. We all have, this is a daily struggle. That's why he says, put on the whole armor of God. You don't put it on one time, amen? Take that stuff off when you go to bed, I hope. But you got to wake up in the morning and put it back on, amen? You're at war. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a battlefield. It's not a playground. There's a devil out there who wants to take the place of everything good and godly about your church. And boy, has he ever tried in these last 8+ years. And there were times where he was pretty well, I mean, he was in deep. But God's faithful. And God's power is able to uproot that filthy devil and cast him out. The problem is the people. But dearly beloved, we must not overlook the big picture. The big picture. This is God's church. This is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Satan is there. He's fighting. He's at the door every day. The God of this world wants to be the God of this church. Every one of us, stay in your place. Be who you're supposed to be. Walk with God. Don't quit doing what you know is right. Don't slip out of your place. A man that leaveth his place is like a bird that leaveth his nest. You know what happens to a little bird that leaves the nest? They're swallowed by a bigger bird. Either that or they just starve to death, whatever comes first. Oh, dearly beloved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, that's the message tonight. And Lord, we're not afraid.